show, tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
It's time to listen, laugh, and learn once again. Welcome back to the Data Doctors radio program, the multi-award-winning tech show for you non-tech people.
Every week we help thousands of people and their broken computers in our stores, in their offices, and homes all across the country. Then we bring that experience right here to the radio to help the rest of you.
We are the Data Doctors du jour, Ken and Spanky, here to provide education and entertainment that we like to call
edutainment. The search is over. Okay, it's just the beginning. We'll tell you how Facebook is changing the face of search.
If it looks like a fish and it smells like a fish, it's probably a fish. We'll tell you what kind.
That smells. Plus credit cards for mom and pop businesses. There's an app for that.
On air.
Online.
On demand.
DataDoctors.com.
DataDoctors.com/radio.
Listen live.
Download podcasts.
And get helpful links.
DataDoctors.com.
DataDoctors.com/radio.
Oh boy, do we have some stuff to talk about this week, huh?
Man, oh man, busy week in tech. And man, Facebook came out with a huge announcement and a lot of people were yawning.
Let's just kind of give the overview, right?
Okay.
So Facebook is a public company now.
Yes.
So everything they say and do and announce is going to determine what happens to their stock price, right?
Yeah, it rises or falls.
So an announcement was made this week, and there was a lot of speculation about, ooh, is Facebook going to come out with their own phone? No. What a dumb idea that was.
Like, were they gonna that would have been a great idea like 6 years ago, 5 years ago.
Yeah, no.
Not going to happen.
A Facebook phone. Give me a break. Lots of other speculation. But basically, Wall Street was looking for some huge announcement that's going to allow Facebook to monetize all this, these billions of people or a billion people that are on their system. And, of course, what they came out with was what something that us as users have been screaming for since the beginning.
Yes.
The least effective part of Facebook, they finally did something about it. Yeah.
So one of the things that I complain about regularly, and Ken and I always kind of simultaneously moan about it, is the ability or lack of ability to search in Facebook.
And we do that simultaneously at the same time.
And together.
Right.
So Facebook announced this week something called graph search.
Why do they call it graph search?
Well, because it uses your social graph.
What's a social graph?
It's a drawing that's made with lined paper and, oh no.
Well, if you look at your timeline, if you look at that history and all that interaction you've had,
mm-hmm.
that essentially is your social graph.
Right, it's who you're connected to, what you've done, where you've been.
People, places, pictures,
all that stuff.
Interests.
So it's very different than using, let's say, a search like Google. You know, when you search for Google, it's using these keywords, and it's you can't get results with Google.
Well, hang on. Let's give a practical example of the difference.
Okay.
I'm going to San Francisco next week for some meetings. I want to have Chinese food in San Francisco.
Okay.
I can go to Google and say, Chinese food in San Francisco. And I'm going to get all of these different review sites and Yelp and Google and, I mean, all these things that tell me what a lot of other people have said about Chinese restaurants. Very good, very valid information, right? So the difference is, with Facebook, I can say, show me Chinese restaurants in San Francisco that my friends like. Subtle but huge difference.
Enormous difference, because your friends, especially people you hang out with, you know they're not going to go to a place regularly, refer you to a place that they don't like. These are things that they go, man, this food here is great.
Yeah, but you also know that this friend thinks Panda Express is Chinese food.
Yeah.
And so you can discount, right? And so you have a basis. And so where are these people coming from? You know, what's their perspective of Chinese food?
Hold up, Ken. You mean to tell me that Panda Express is not Chinese? Next, you're going to tell me Kyoto Ball is not Japanese.
Righto.
Okay, moving on.
Moving on. So that's just the beginning. You business owners need to understand how incredibly valuable this could become for you. Let's use the often referred to discussion about a dentist. So, I've got lots of friends that are dentists.
Sure.
They've been using Facebook forever and trying to figure out, why am I doing this and exactly how's this going to help me?
How am I going to get business out of this?
Yes. And for the most part, people say, hey, I've just had a great experience at Dr. Peterson's office, pain-free dentistry, really cool. And it's a post that's just there, right?
Right.
But I don't need a dentist right now. And by the time I do, that whole post drifted away.
Right. So, for example, You know, I have an endodontist. I've had a couple of root canals. And so let's say I decide to like Red Mountain Endodontics, which happens to be the place I go.
That sounds like a plug.
No, it was just that's where I go.
All right.
If I like Red Mountain Endodontics.
Send the guy an invoice.
And a friend of mine needs a root canal, they can search for endodontists my friends like.
Or except that they won't say that.
They'll say dentist my friends like. And he comes under dentist as well. And sure enough, it'll show that I like this practice. And if they then jump over there, they might see that I posted after a root canal, man, great experience. And
well, but the more likely thing is, think about it in the real world. IRL. In real life.
In real life.
We're having coffee, and I'm complaining about a toothache,
yep.
And you're going to go, oh, I got the greatest guy.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go, really? How was it? And you have a conversation about
sure.
it, and then you decide, okay, maybe I'll set an appointment with this. So you essentially can say, okay, three or four of my friends like these different dentists. You start to engage in conversation about that situation and your situation with your friends who have had previous experiences. What it's doing is it's allowing us to take all that stuff that's laying out there that basically, if it didn't happen in the last 10 minutes, it's almost invisible
right.
and almost useless. I mean, because the search engine right now for Facebook, I mean, it's worthless.
So you mentioned all that stuff that's out there, and that brings us to the next part of this. With Facebook Graph Search, how will this impact your privacy?
Everybody's going to be able to see everything that I've ever said about Chinese food.
So here's the truth, okay? If you've already gone in and changed your Facebook settings and adjusted things so that only your friends see certain things and public can see certain things, you're fine. But
nothing changed.
Nothing's changed. If you haven't gone through your Facebook settings, if you haven't gone through your privacy settings and made very simple, very easy to make adjustments, I would be concerned.
And the truth shall set you free. The truth is, you haven't done it. We are strongly recommending take your piece of paper and pencil out. This is a data doctor's prescription for everyone on Facebook. Before this search engine, this graph search rolls out to everyone, which is going to take a couple of months. So you don't have to do it right this second, but do it while you're thinking of it. Go and update and look at all your privacy settings to make absolutely sure about tagged. And if you don't understand all that, check out all the resources we have at datadoctors.com/radio on how to make sure you are locked down.
Still ahead, Manti Te'o says he's a victim. We'll tell you how life imitated art.
Something smells fishy, but right after the break, what's the best way to contain all your passwords? It's coming up here on the Data Doctors Radio program.
I put them in a little red box on my desk. No?
Yeah. Sticky notes.
Business owners, if you're tired of playing whack-a-mole with your business technology, help is just a phone call away.
Whether you have 3 or 300 computers, call us, the Data Doctors, to schedule a free technology assessment and get a prescription to relieve your pain.
Imagine putting the days of technology problems behind you.
Let the collective intelligence of Data Doctors Business Services allow you to focus on your business, not your technology problems.
Call 888-545-1988 and schedule your free technology assessment today.
Quit struggling with technology on your own. Get the experience of Data Doctors Business Services team for less than the cost of a single IT person.
And we've seen it all. We've been helping businesses with their technology for nearly 25 years, and we can help you too.
Get relief today so you can be more productive tomorrow. Call 888-545-1988 to schedule your free business technology assessment today.
That's 888-545-1988.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
Oh, so Mike says, heard you talking on your tech tips this morning that you can forward spam texts to 7727. Do all carriers do this? I have T-Mobile and it failed to send the message. Mike, that's because you are one digit too high. To report text spam on your carrier, any carrier, forward the message to 7726, which spells out spam, S-P-A-M, 7726. Questions you have, facebook.com/datadoctors.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
The tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
Speaking of Facebook.com/datadoctors,
tell them
what we have, Don Pardo.
Bob, we're going to just constantly, we have so much energy. Did we drink like 5 hour energy plus coffee?
It's not good for you.
Bob wants to know, in your opinion, what's the best password storage app? I need something, but I'm slightly concerned about storing all my critical passwords in an app.
Well, the best password storage apps are the ones that work for you.
Like sticky notes.
In some cases, that actually is not a bad idea.
Yes, just don't leave them on your desk next to the computer. I walked into a neighbor's house and I saw them.
But if you do and it's your private space, that's not as bad as it sounds.
Okay.
It's you people that live in cube farms, right? Mm. Dilbert land. And your neighbors are, you know, they pop up over the top of the cubicle next to you and they start prairie dogging.
I would, by the way, watch the movie Office Space. You'll get a really good.
You know what I mean by prairie dogging, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They peek over the, hey, what are you doing over there?
Yeah. So do not use sticky notes in a public place like your office, your place where you work.
Not a good thing.
But writing down your passwords on a piece of paper and storing it somewhere relatively safe in your world,
mm-hmm.
that's actually safer than virtually any digital or online system because there's absolutely no way for anybody to get to those unless they come into your home or whatever it is.
Right.
So that's one. Two is you can encrypt documents or what have you and don't call it my passwords or anything like that so it's obvious. You could bury a document or a note somewhere in your phone and have all those in there and just use encryption. When I say encryption, don't describe what the site's for, what the passwords are for.
Mm-hmm.
Don't even call it passwords. Just make it like it's a milk, like a laundry list, and hide your passwords within that list of groceries.
Right.
Right? To-do list, whatever. So those are really low-tech ways to remember your passwords.
Oh, you know, something that I did with my mother-in-law, because she wanted to have a list near her computer, was I just said, for her own safety, because she has, like, you know, people come into the house, cleaning people, whatever. She put a series of letters and numbers before and after the actual logins and passwords. She knows where those begin
right.
and end.
Right.
But it would be very difficult for a person to look at that and figure out where it begins and where it ends. So those are some things. And, you know, Bob, something that I do is I actually have everything in an encrypted Excel sheet, and it's named something totally different. It doesn't say house passwords. And I also have a physical copy of that printed and locked away in our safe in the house.
You can put it in a safe deposit box or whatever, yeah. So if you're looking for a digital solution to this, what's really nice is there's a lot of different companies that have created these multiple levels. So you can have a password keeper that's on your computer at home that you set up an account and it shares it with your smartphone, your iPad, whatever else. So programs like RoboForm, been around a long time, allows you to just automatically fill in forms, also has a pretty phenomenal, sophisticated password management system. And the idea is that you create very difficult to remember passwords.
Right.
So that all you have to do is remember one password, and that is to the app. LastPass is another one. KeePass, KeePass.com. There's a bunch of them out there. Most of them are free. There's no reason to pay for these apps. There's plenty of great free ones out there. But here's the thing. They're not like fire and forget. You have to take the time to learn how to use the app. The number of people that have said, oh, it's not working for me, they haven't actually spent the time to figure out, this is how this app is supposed to work. They didn't finish filling out all the, all the forms. They didn't properly set up the app on their phone so that it matches the same account as the one on their computer. You have to do all those things for these password keepers. To be of any value to you. So, you know, check it out.
There you go, Bob. Hey, earlier in the week, Ken and I had lunch with an old friend. can I call him out now?
Luddites.
All right. Now, our buddy Dave Pratt, who Phoenix radio guy, has been around forever. And we get to the end of our lunch, and the server brings out an iPad with this little device attached to it for him to pay his bill. And, of course, it was a Square credit card reader. And he didn't know what to do with it because he'd never seen one of these before.
No, he did. He took the Square reader out of the headphone jack,
yes.
Started playing with it, and looked at us like, what am I supposed to do with this?
which got us thinking because we had this incredible conversation about these credit card processors that, you know, a lot of small businesses, mom and pops, not retail operations that do a lot of transactions, but smaller businesses that have a low transaction volume.
Or people that do
fairs.
Art fairs.
Sure.
And, yeah. Or if you're out and about and you're doing business with somebody and in the past you say, I'll send you an invoice, just mail me a check.
Oh, and for you Canadian listeners, that would be out in a boat.
A boot.
Okay. So there are these credit card processing, credit card readers and apps for your smartphone, for your iPhone, for your Android. And I just want to quickly hit on a couple of them in case you don't know about them. So the one that we actually were talking about specifically was the Square card reader.
And you'll see it all over the place.
Yeah, and one of the co-founders of Twitter started this, Jack Dorsey. Very popular. I've been using one for a couple of years. Very easy to use.
Okay, so the pros are it's easy to set up, easy to use. The money's in your account the next day. The downside is if you do any kind of volume or large transactions, it's almost 3% of your swipe
right.
they're going to take.
And,
so
and
you're getting charged for that convenience.
Exactly. And if your customer calls in with a card, it's actually a point higher, so it's almost 4%.
Because you didn't swipe it.
Correct.
Yeah.
Another one, Intuit, you know, those people who make Quicken. Intuit has a card reader now. Again, very similar rate structure. You can actually buy a lower rate with a monthly fee. So they've doing some things a little bit differently. And then, of course, the company that's been around processing payments forever for eBay, and they bought them, PayPal,
yeah.
Yeah, so PayPal has their own reader. And they all work the same way. They're all very easy to use. And so PayPal, the card reader for them, very easy to go pick up. You can walk into a Walmart store.
Yep.
And
you can pick up Square at a Starbucks.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
Apple stores, anywhere. So, yeah, you're going to start to see these around. But if you're a business owner, don't take the easy way out and think about, I mean, do the math. What are you gonna run in credit cards this year times 2.75%? Are you willing to give that up? Because you can get lower rates. You can get it under 2% if you use traditional credit card processing
right.
companies.
Right, but know that those traditional processing companies and those traditional devices, not as easy to use when you're out at a street fair.
Well,
they're
not just that. They're a little confusing on the rates and what have you. So if you have a question, that's our BizTech section. You business owners have a question, ask us on Facebook, facebook.com/datadoctors.
Coming up, don't tug on Superman's cape, don't spit in the wind, and don't toss your old tech in the trash.
Also, what's all the buzz about Java? We'll tell you. Coming up here on the Data Doctors radio program.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
If you like all the tips, tricks, and warnings, the how-tos we give you here on the radio, you'll love what we can deliver right to your inbox. That's right. You can subscribe to our weekly newsletter, datadoctors.com/radio. And now it is live, the BizTech newsletter. Don't forget, for you business owners, you want some good, solid business tech information? Go to the same place, datadoctors.com/radio. Look for the newsletter box. Give us your email address, and I will clear my throat during the break.
It's the Data Doctors radio program.
Got a tech question? Get an answer in English.
Ask us now at facebook.com/datadoctors.
You know, one of the most important things that we can do, and we've been an active part of trying to solve for the last 12 years, is the recycling of electronic waste.
Ugh.
It is the fastest growing municipal waste problem in the country. And that's because the average household, U.S. household, has 24 electronic gadgets. If you have teenagers, it could be pushing 40.
We have 49.
49 in your household. Okay. So every year, we're tossing between 20 and 50 million metric tons of electronic waste into the landfills and what have you. Only 10 to 18% of that is being recycled. This is a huge problem. We need your help to educate yourself and your friends on a couple of different levels. I mean, we're throwing away 125,000 fully loaded 747s, just loaded with electronic waste. 125,000 747s loaded with electronic waste every year.
That's insane.
We are going to cause major problems for our kids and our grandkids.
So let's talk a little bit about what's inside your computer. You know, you think of your computer as a hard drive and RAM and a motherboard, but let's talk about actually the chemistry of the computer. There's barium inside the computer. Barium causes intestinal illness, muscular weakness. There's beryllium, which can cause bone cancer and damage the bones. Cadmium, kidney, liver, bone, and blood damage. The list goes on and on. Lead, mercury, phosphorus. There are so many toxic poisons inside your computer. And, you know, you don't see them because you're using your computer. It does a job. But when it's time to get rid of that computer, the worst thing you can do for the future of our kids, this planet, is say, throw it in the dumpster. Who cares? You're poisoning the world by doing that.
And it is nasty, nasty, nasty stuff. The bottom line is there's two issues here. One is people are not properly disposing of their electronic waste. And I'm talking anything that plugs into the wall or uses batteries. You need to properly recycle. Two, those of you that are recycling or donating your electronics, quit waiting so long to do it.
Yeah.
Don't let this stuff sit in your garage for 3 years or in a closet somewhere, and then you finally go, oh, it's time to get rid of this. During that three-year period that you were doing nothing with it, the charities that we work with, the various organizations around that are trying to help homeless people get an education, there's so many other people that can use your, what you determine to be old and obsolete electronics. You don't know who could use that, but I can guarantee you one thing. If it sits in your garage for 3 years, there's no way it's ever going to get in the hands of someone else. Repurposing, while it's still usable, critical thing that we need to change.
One of our recycling partners does something amazing with a lot of the computers, the components that work. They repurpose them and put them together, package them up, and they send them to third world countries, to needy countries.
No, actually, well, they do a little of that.
Right, they're on the charitable side.
But the majority of that actually stays in the U.S. with charities and organizations that are trying to help others. That's where most of the stuff that we work with directly stays right here to try to help our friends and neighbors that can't afford technology. It's an easy problem to solve if everyone just pays attention and you just do the right thing.
So don't chuck it in the trash. Bring it to us. Saturday, January 26th, that's next Saturday, come to any Data Doctors location, drop it off, and we will take care of making sure.
Yeah, anywhere in the country, any of our locations, and if you don't have a Data Doctors store near you, then we've got resources you can look at to see who else is doing any kind of recycling. We do these recycling events at least twice a year. Here's the bottom line. If for some reason you can't get to one of our stores, don't worry. This is not a passing commitment we have. The Data Doctor stores around the country will allow you to drop off any electronic waste any day of the year, any time you want. You don't have to do it when we're doing these recycling events with a lot of others. All the other people that are part of this recycling event, the Technology Council and all the electronics companies, they're only doing it on that one day because they're not really set up to deal with this on a daily basis. We've committed, Data Doctors is committed to making sure that we make it easy for you to get that stuff either repurposed or recycled properly. That's a responsibility we take very seriously. We'd like for you to join us. Please spread the word. Do not allow people to throw this stuff in the trash. Drop it off at any Data Doctors location, and we'll even sweeten the pie. We'll give you service vouchers. We'll give you an incentive to bring it by. We'll give you vouchers for discounts on service so that down the road when you need something on your new computer, not only did you do the right thing, you saved a little money.
It's all good. Hey, anytime you have a tech question for us, it's easy to ask. Facebook.com/DataDoctors. Teresa said, I've been hearing all over the news that we need to disable Java. Can you tell me why and how?
Java, lava, not so. So Java is a scripting language that the idea was that the tool is designed so I can write code and I don't have to worry about whether you're on a Mac, a Windows machine, whatever it is, the program would
just
work.
Works.
Right, or the website would work. Very common language used by a lot of websites. The problem is this tool has been wrought with security issues. And it's gotten so bad recently that a lot of people are calling for you to just disable Java, which sounds great. But if you need Java for the websites that you visit, this doesn't really work. So there's not a black and white on this. We do have the instructions on how to disable Java, whether you do it temporarily or permanently. DataDoctors.com/radio. Check that out. Decide for yourself.
Coming up, how do you record your favorite web videos?
Me? Ooh, you know how I do it.
Yes.
Also, you think your password's safe? Think again. We'll bring you up to speed on your safety.
It's coming up right here on the Data Doctors radio program. Hey, it's the Data Doctors.
Hey, lots of you come to our stores when you have computer problems.
Many of you rely on our award-winning Data Doctors in-home service, where our Data Doctor comes to you. Yeah, house calls.
Some of you take advantage of Data Doctors remote repair, so we fix your problem right over the internet.
But did you know that we can help your office, too?
That's right. Whether your office has 2, 20, or 200 computers, Data Doctors Business Services takes the pain of managing your office technology away.
Instead of using the Band-Aid approach to your office technology, put the experience of Data Doctors Business Services team to work for you.
You'll be amazed at how much more you can get done when you're not trying to run a business and your IT department.
Go to datadoctors.com and let us take away the pain.
In store.
At home.
Over the internet.
In your office.
What are you waiting for? Go to datadoctors.com right now.
Like he said, go to datadoctors.com and get ready to experience award-winning service.
Data Doctors. Since 1988, we're the tech guys for non-tech people.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Yelp has decided that it wants to help you avoid food poisoning.
Thank goodness.
by adding health scores to restaurant reviews on their site. They started in New York and San Francisco. Scores are coming up in Yelp, in your Yelp app, in your city soon. Check it out, datadoctors.com/radio.
They're Trekkies and they're techies.
We are neither.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
Facebook.com/datadoctors. Ken's got his groove on over there to my left. You can't see that because it's a radio show. Unless you're in here in the studio with us.
I just hurt my neck.
Don't do that. Facebook.com/datadoctors. Les asks, what's the best app out there to download or capture YouTube videos?
Well, you know, downloading and capturing them is one thing. What he didn't put in there is what he wants to do with them afterwards, right? Because if you say, I want to download YouTube videos and then watch them on my iPad on an airplane, that's going to be a different set of things than if I just want to download the YouTube videos to my computer and be able to play it back on my computer.
Sure. So we gave Les two options on Facebook. There's a free app you can download, which is okay. And we've got the link for that, datadoctors.com/radio.
And it basically just does YouTube videos.
Correct.
Not Vimeo, not anything else.
Correct. But there is an app that we fell in love with.
We rarely tell you to spend money on anything.
Yeah.
This is going to be an exception.
Now, I just want to, just let me have my moment of glory because I'm always getting crapped on.
Go ahead.
I brought this app to Ken and Brandon.
Yeah.
And Ken poo-pooed it at first. He's like, what is this? This is useless.
This is just the same thing that 5 million other people have done.
And then he saw the light. The light shined down upon him. The clouds parted.
You evangelized me.
He heard the
me,
angels.
And then we evangelized Brandon.
That's right.
Because he did the same thing.
He did the same
he was
thing.
Like, what are you knuckleheads talking about? Those apps have been around forever.
And the app is called Jaksta.
JAKSTA.com.
So Jaksta, it's actually a website. You can go to their website and get the apps.
Mac or Windows.
That's right. Jaksta has apps that grab video, grab music, convert video, a phenomenal amount of stuff you can do with Jaksta.
Here's the best part. A lot of those video recording apps, especially the free ones, you literally have to watch the entire video because it's actually capturing what's on your screen.
In real time.
Not with Jaksta.
Oh, no.
Jaksta says, you want this video, and instead of waiting for you to download the whole thing, it just grabs it like it's just downloading. You don't have to watch it. It just downloads the whole video in seconds. Like, it just sucks it in. Same thing like Pandora.
Yes.
You can record, you can start your Pandora station, right? Jaksta will record every song, separate it, put the keywords on there so you know what the artist was, the albums, all those things. And later on, you can decide, I want to keep these, I don't want to keep these.
Right.
It's like the old school recording radio onto a cassette. But the difference was the cassette, you had to listen to all the songs and fast forward through.
And then you had to pause and yet you
fast
make sure
forward
you,
through the garbage, right? No, sir. Groove Shark, you can pull up just the songs you want, record them, boom. And again, it does it instantly. As soon as it starts to play the song or the video, it just sucks the thing right on down. So it's if you are a digital media person, you love digital media, this is the one program we're going to say, yes, it's worth it. Go spend the money.
You know, Les, I know you're asking specifically about video, but this app works for video. But I want to jump back to what Ken said about audio. I wanted to do as an experiment one day. I created a little playlist in Groove Shark, and I wanted to see how fast I could capture 100 songs. It was a Saturday. I had nothing to do. The kids were out. It took me about 6 minutes.
Because you just start playing the first song and the
and
second
as soon
song,
as it clips,
yep.
I just
go to the next song.
Go to the next one.
Go to the next song. Go to the next song.
6 minutes, 100 songs.
And when we interviewed the company that created this, we were like, how can this be legal? And it falls under the personal use. Obviously, you don't sell this stuff. It's the personal use, the same thing that allows you to record
on a DVR.
A radio.
Right.
Right. When it comes to songs, you can record stuff on the radio. You can record all kinds of stuff online. Just use it. Make sure it is for personal use, and you'll be just fine.
Right, because if you share it, then that's illegal. And by the way, speaking of illegal downloads, quick note for those of you who do illegally download stuff and share it, you're not the only ones illegally downloading content.
No.
Nope. Check out how many federal workers are pirating on our dime.
But I'm sure they're going, I didn't know that was illegal.
Datadoctors.com/radio for the link.
Hey, new information, a new reason to be afraid of your weak password. Turns out that Deloitte of Canada is saying your passwords can be cracked in seconds now.
A. Yeah, so the research, the report came out last Monday. 90%, that's 10% shy of 100% of user-generated passwords would be compromised could be compromised in these big.
Well, it's a really sophisticated
brute
way.
Brute force attacks.
So every time, so here's one of the things that happens. You've heard about all these data breaches. One of the things that they do is they basically combine all the passwords that they got from the data breach.
I'm wearing data breaches under my jeans.
Yeah, you should. And they dump it into this big pool of known passwords, right? And they cross-reference this email address and this password. And so every hacker in the world that has access to this pool of username password can go and try it on every public, you know, YouTube to eBay to PayPal, whatever. They'll just try it all over the place to see how many times you use that same password.
Right.
Right. So it doesn't even matter how well you did in as far as creating a really long password, because once there's a data breach, it doesn't matter how powerful it was. They got your stuff. So that's one issue. The other is, if you're still using an 8-character password, you are dead meat. You're going to get your password cracked in seconds.
So what we recommend, and we've been talking about this for a while, is a 15-character or more password. And you're thinking to yourself, I can't remember a 15-character password.
Yes, you can. Just use real words and spaces and special characters and what have you. Just by making it longer, you're going to immediately make it more difficult for these automated systems to crack the password.
For example, just a week ago, I had to use a password on a site. I just created a temporary account, and I took one of our suggestions because I knew I was only going to go there once, didn't care. IHatePasswords.com. That was my password.
Special characters, spaces, the whole thing.
The whole thing.
And you can do /IHatePasswords.
That's right.
You can do whatever you want that you can remember, just make sure that it's got 15 characters or more. The other thing you need to be thinking about, you're going to start seeing this more and more. Google and Facebook now have a two-factor authentication. That is to say, anytime somebody tries to log into your account from a strange machine, device, whatever, it sends you a text message with a secret code that you have to put in to verify it's actually you. Two-factor authentication, start using it for a safer way to go.
You're listening to the Data Doctors Radio Program, the tech show for non-tech people. Ask us your questions even when we're not on the air, facebook.com/datadoctors.
And remember, we deal with computers and technology problems for a living and have for 25 years. We're the experts at this stuff. We can help you in our stores, in your home, at your business. We can even remote right in over the internet and help you fix your problems.
Remember, if you missed any of the show, you can tell your friends. They too can listen, laugh, and learn. Data Doctors can be heard worldwide on Stitcher Radio.
And if you missed any of the links or info we gave in the past hour, you can find everything we talked about at datadoctors.com/radio.
Get all your tech answers in English at datadoctors.com/radio.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors radio program. The tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
It is time to listen, laugh, and learn. Welcome to the Data Doctors radio program, the multi-award-winning tech show for non-tech people.
During the week, we are busy helping thousands of people with their broken computers in our stores and their offices and homes around the country. Then we bring all of that information and experience to you right here on the radio.
We are the Data Doctors, Ken to my left, and me, Spanky, here to provide education and entertainment. We call it edutainment.
It was an amazing story. An amazing story. College football player overcomes adversity, sadness, and plays an amazing game the day of his girlfriend's funeral. Or did he? We'll tell you what happened next.
Also, to update or not to update, that is the question.
App clutter sucks. We'll tell you how to clean it up as well.
Better answers than the guys overseas. Or Uncle Jim's nerdy son.
It's the Data Doctors radio program.
It's the tech show.
The tech show for non-tech people.
It was social media gone wild week. The story of one man. Wait, you say one man and then I'll do the Jim Cutler announcement. Huh. One man. Just say one man.
One man.
One man.
Faked out by online girlfriend.
Faked out by online girlfriend. We're talking about Manti Te'o. Is that how you pronounce his name?
Something like that.
Manti Te'o. Te'o. Anyway, the death of his girlfriend was a huge, huge social story. She died from leukemia and on the day of her funeral, it was, what are the two teams, Ken? Notre Dame and...
Alabama?
Thank you. Alabama? No. Does he play for Alabama?
No, he plays for Notre Dame.
He plays for Notre Dame. Anyway, plays an amazing game, and the coach dedicates the game ball to him in the locker room. And I mean, just a moving story. but it wasn't real. It was
So
fictitious.
Supposedly, after recovering from a car accident in the summer, she was hospitalized for leukemia and didn't survive.
Yes, and that was the tragic, sad story of Manti Te'o's girlfriend.
So we don't even want to. We don't even want to dwell on that whole situation.
No.
What we do want to dwell on is something that you probably, you know, you might have heard this word around. But I think we're going to go into greater detail so that you totally understand this phenomenon. Tied to that particular story is this week's Geek Speak of the Week. Every week we try to bring you a portion
Geek
of the vernacular.
Speak of the Week.
And I talk over Spanky, or he tries to whisper or whatever it is. What the hell's wrong with you?
I'm geek whispering by myself.
Geek Speak of the Week.
Yeah. I'm sure this is what Herbie Hancock had in mind when he...
Brandon is sad that he's not here because he would be whispering Geek Speak of the Week with me.
So this week's Geek Speak is... Catfish.
Catfish.
So how the heck is that a tech term?
Well, because it is.
It's catfish is someone who pretends to be someone they're not using some online social media, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, to create false identities, generally in pursuit of a deceptive online romance or something
sure.
like that. It's something smelly here.
You know, unfortunately, there are men out there, and well, there are women too, obviously, who have these multiple personalities or multiple personas online because they're players, you know? They're
No, I think it's a much deeper. I mean, we're still learning the psychosis around this. And it looks like if you watch, by the way, there's a television series on MTV called Catfish, the TV show.
Yes.
Because the gentleman that's the head of there, the star of that show, actually had a documentary where he fell in love with somebody online. Went to meet her, and it turned out she was completely not who she said she was. And he documented all this, and it became a big deal. And turns out this is happening every single day, so much so that this guy has a weekly television show where
right.
he's trying to help somebody figure out, it is they or isn't they?
Yeah, so apparently Manti, though, said you know he was a victim of this because... apparently, he had this, what he believed was an online friendship with this real person, and recognized, had talked to her on the phone, but apparently, from what I gathered, they've never met face-to-face, and then he got this call from the number that he recognized as her number, and it was somebody saying that she had died, and that was, I mean, can you imagine what a head game that was on him?
Let's just leave him aside.
Okay, leave him aside.
There are hundreds, if not thousands, of people that are going through very similar things.
Sure.
So let's talk about some ways for you to
sniff out
catfish or a catfish, right?
Yes.
So if you believe that this is a real person and you believe that you're headed towards a meeting IRL.
In real life.
Start with this. This is a couple of red flags. If the person you're connecting with and really have a bond with and you think this might be the one is hesitant or reluctant to connect with you via Skype or some video communication system, which is ubiquitous, free, easy for anybody. If they don't know how to set up a webcam and they use that as an excuse, that's kind of suspicious these days.
Yeah, I'd look the other
way. If they're really looking for a relationship and they are really who they say they are, they're probably going to be very interested in actually doing some kind of a video session, right? Let's face it. Everybody online always puts the best foot forward. First date syndrome, just like, you know, in the real world, you're always going to do the best you can to look and sound better than you are. You don't generally...
It's called upselling.
Well, I mean, you don't scratch yourself and pass gas in front of your loved one
Not until the second date.
Yeah. Well, maybe you. And the online version of that holds true as well.
Absolutely.
So, the other thing is, if you think this person's real, stalk them. Don't be afraid to stalk them. And when I say stalk them, I don't mean stalk them on Facebook. I'm saying go figure out if this person really exists
right.
in other networks, on public records.
Use
right?
dirtsearch.org.
Dirtsearch.org is probably the easiest way to go and look to see, is there any public record of this person? And does it match the person that's online? You can also do ego searches, right? Does this person show up in Google under any circumstance? Does this person ever blog or any create videos, done anything real like that that most people are doing these days. There's another great social search engine called Addict-O-Matic. Addict-O-Matic, right? Put the person's name in there and make sure and use quotation marks. Now, obviously, if the person's name is a common name, these tools are going to be a little more difficult. But just do those two things before you fall in love, just to make sure that you've got a chance that this person's actually who they say they are. But anybody that says, I'm a model or I'm a doctor, I'm a whatever, that's another big red flag.
Except us, because we're data doctors. Still ahead, has your iPhone become cluttered with too many apps? We've got a solution.
Also, we saw some cool stuff at CES. So what were the highlights? Stay tuned.
It's the Data Doctors Radio Program. Hey, it's the Data Doctors.
Hey, lots of you come to our stores when you have computer problems.
Many of you rely on our award-winning Data Doctors in-home service, where our Data Doctor comes to you. Yeah, house calls.
Some of you take advantage of Data Doctors remote repair, so we fix your problem right over the internet.
But did you know that we can help your office, too?
That's right. Whether your office has 2, 20, or 200 computers, Data Doctors Business Services takes the pain of managing your office technology away.
Instead of using the Band-Aid approach to your office technology, put the experience of Data Doctors Business Services team to work for you.
You'll be amazed at how much more you can get done when you're not trying to run a business and your IT department.
Go to datadoctors.com and let us take away the pain.
In store.
At home.
Over the internet.
In your office.
What are you waiting for? Go to datadoctors.com right now.
Like he said, go to datadoctors.com and get ready to experience award-winning service.
Data Doctors. Since 1988, we're the tech guys for non-tech people.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
All right, so what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, right?
Ja.
Okay, but when you need medical advice, what could kill you is not getting it from a good place. So, if you need medical advice, do you A, ask your friend, B, ask your doctor, or C, ask the internet?
I ask skatergirl721 at yahoo.com.
Okay, ask yourself this question and then get the answer at datadoctors.com/radio.
Are you confused about something tech?
Ha, you didn't hear it from us.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
The Data Doctors Radio Program.
It's the Data Doctors Radio Program.
And we don't give medical advice.
We're not real doctors. We just play one on the radio.
What's the rubber glove for, doctor?
It doesn't work. The only tool I need.
Oh, if you are...
Okay, name that movie and post it on our Facebook page.
What movie?
It's the only tool I need.
Okay. Oh, I know what it is.
There you go.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So if you have an iPhone, an iPod, an iPad, and am I missing any other iDevice? An iOS run device? No, I think I got them all, right?
iPod Touch.
iPod Touch, that's right. iPod Touch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, over the years, we've collected quite a boatload of apps.
Everyone has.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there are apps that you use one time. There are apps that you use maybe a couple of times a year. But, you know, those apps clutter your device so much that... You know, if you look, Ken, here, just look at my iPhone right now while we're talking to you.
Yeah, you're redonkulous.
I have pages and pages and pages of apps.
Yes, you need to take a 12-step program.
App Users Anonymous.
That's right.
Hello, my name is Spanky, and I have a problem. I collect apps. So here's what you need to do. First of all, if you want to not get rid of the app permanently.
Well, everybody knows you press and hold and you can delete, right?
Right.
And people are going, well, but I might want that later.
Right. And so what happens is when your device syncs back at home base, you know, those apps can sometimes pop their way back onto your phone because, well, your phone is set up to grab all those apps. You can actually hide those apps so that they don't constantly sync with your device. Really smart way to do it. We've got a video to show you how you're going to watch this video and you're going to go, what? Yeah, I didn't know I could do that.
Yeah, it's not bad.
So it's very easy to do. Check it out. We've got a link, datadoctors.com/radio.
And a quick reminder here again, next Saturday, January 26th, at all Data Doctors locations throughout the country, please, please spread the word. It's our biannual recycling event where we're trying to make it easy for people to properly dispose of that old technology. We work with charities around the country. We try to repurpose as much as we can. But the bottom line is we don't want this stuff ending up in the landfill. It will destroy our groundwater. It'll cause your grandchildren to have three eyes and horns.
I knew you were going to say that. Well, I can see it.
I got to use visuals to get the point across. But please, January 26th, Data Doctors locations around the country. We'll even provide you with a service voucher discount. to make it worth your while. Please don't let this stuff end up in the landfill.
Our new video campaign for this,
yes.
Save the world from mutant children.
Grandchildren.
Grandchildren.
Right.
That would be a good one.
Could happen. Remember, if it plugs in, it takes batteries, don't throw it away.
Facebook.com/DataDoctors is where you can ask us a question 24/7, 365. We'll do our best to answer it as quick as possible. Dana wanted to know, how do I find what my wireless security settings might be? I saved the form you included in one of your newsletters, and we also did it on the Tech Helpathon.
Yep.
But not sure where to get that information.
So this is one of those things that if you actually are asking us where the setting is, that must mean that somebody pre-programmed your stuff. Or if you know what the password is, you know, to connect something new to your wireless network, then you have those security settings.
Right.
You know what the name of the router is. It's known as the SSID. Okay.
We always say should be the super secret ID.
It's not. Well, if you hide it, it can
yes.
be. So and then the password that's associated with that. So the form that she's talking about, we'll go ahead and repost that for those of you that don't have documentation of this thing. But if you don't actually know what it is, in other words, you have something new and you have no idea how to connect it to your Wi-Fi, that means you don't have that security information. It means you probably had a friend or somebody set it up for you. You're going to have to actually go into the router's setting, which most of you have left your router security password and username at the default. So you can probably go to, let's say it's a Linksys or Netgear or whatever, go to the support section of that manufacturer's website, look up your model in the support section, and look up the default username password and the what's called the IP address that you type into your browser. So you actually type in a bunch of numbers, which goes to your router, and then you have to use a username and password to get in, and then from there you can look at, reset, do whatever you want. But get all that stuff documented so that you're not having to go, ruh.
Yeah, because you sit there and you go, okay, how do I get into this?
If you want this really cool little cheat sheet, check it out. We've got it posted at datadoctors.com/radio.
Also, Michelle wanted to know, should we download all of the Windows updates every time they come out? I'm never sure whether to do the updates or not.
When it comes to Windows updates, I'm going to say yes every time except for the times that we tell you not to.
Can we clarify that a little bit, Colburn?
On a very rare occasion, we will send out a warning saying, you know what, there's a problem with the current update. It hasn't happened in a while. So for the most part, we'd highly recommend that you set your automatic updates to truly automatic, where as soon as Microsoft comes out with a new update, that your machine is just automatically downloading it. And a lot of times you'll see in the morning you go in, it says you need to restart your machine so I can finish this update. Do that. Don't say,
I'll do it later. Do it later.
Restart the machine. Let it finish the update.
And let's not forget about, Patch Tuesday, where Microsoft releases all the patches.
Generally speaking, across not just operating systems, but the Office and those kinds of places.
Yeah, so if you ignore those updates, you're really leaving yourself open, vulnerable to all this bad stuff out there that you really don't want to be.
Yeah, here's a big reason why you want to make sure and get them as quickly as possible. There's something called zero-day exploits now. And so to explain that very quickly, in the past, somebody would discover a hole in Windows, and within 6 months, somebody will have created an exploit for it. So we could have called that a six-month exploit, right?
Yeah.
So then it got to 3 months, and then it got to be within a month.
Right, 30-day
exploit.
Then
Then within a week of somebody discovering a problem, somebody wrote code to try to take advantage.
7-day exploit.
Today, a lot of what you hear about, a lot of what's going on out there as far as trying to attack people, are known as zero-day exploits, meaning the day that the exploit is discovered, somebody has already written code to try to take advantage of those holes.
Because they know that the software companies can't move fast enough to fix the problem before they get in and do their damage.
Well, they also know that a lot of you are lazy or don't pay attention, and you may go weeks before this thing gets updated. And so they want to set the trap as quickly as possible, and that's why they go after this stuff as a zero-day exploit. So, yes, please, get those updates done as quickly as you can, all the time.
Yeah, let's face it.
And there's no one-size-fits-all, so please pay attention to our Facebook page. We always set alerts when there's a particular problem with an update.
Yeah, how many times have you ignored it and said, oh, I'll do it next week, I'm too busy?
Don't do that.
Right after the break, CES Revisited. We'll hit the highlights in this week's Help.
And forget the Facebook phone. There's an update to an app that gives you free calling.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors Radio Program.
So if you like tips like feed tuna mayonnaise before you can them, or warnings and how-tos that we give on the radio show, you'll love what we can deliver right into your inbox. Just subscribe to our weekly newsletter at datadoctors.com/radio. There you'll see the opportunity for our regular weekly newsletter and our monthly BizTech newsletter for you business people. Check it out.
The first rule of technology, restart it.
Rule two, ask us at facebook.com/datadoctors.
We don't read our answers from a script.
It's the tech show for non-tech
people. It's the tech show for non-tech people. The Data Doctors Radio Program.
I need somebody.
Help!
Not just anybody.
Help! I'm harmonizing. Help!
You gotta lay off the energy drinks.
Energy drinks and coffee. Well,
you know, American Idol's back on, and
help!
You know how it's really like a train wreck watching those people that think they can sing?
Yeah.
Don't be one of those guys.
Okay, I won't.
Each week we highlight a question that somebody asked that we thought might be good enough for our newspaper columns and websites and blogs around the country. This week's question came from Pat, who asked, what were the main highlights you guys saw at the Consumer Electronics Show this year?
Lots of girls.
You know what? The booth babes actually were pretty
not
minimal.
That good this year.
No. I think people are starting to realize there's no relationship between booth babes and good tech.
Yeah.
And in fact, you might not be taken seriously.
Right, because first of all, your eyes are not even on the tech when you're, well, anyway.
No, those of us that really care about tech, get out of the way, please.
We get out. You're in our way.
Yeah, you can't even speak about this technology.
So,
move over.
Pat, some of the highlights at this year's Consumer Electronics Show, and I think the one that was the standout highlight for us was the Ultra HD TV. The future
of television.
Right, not today.
Distant future of television.
Yes. The new Ultra HD TVs, which will come out somewhere down the road, they're 4K and 8K. Those aren't the prices. Those are the resolution. So basically, those televisions, those screens are 4 times the resolution of today's current technology, or in the case of 8K, 8 times the resolution.
And right now they are 20 to 30 times the cost of what you're normally going to buy. If you got 20 or 30 grand to spend on a TV today that basically has no content, you might want to know. So one of the things I want to clarify, because we talked about it last week's show about how content's going to be a problem. Did you know that the technology to create ultra high def video has been in use for these specialized movie houses for years? Mm-hmm. So there is actually quite a bit of content that has been shot at this higher resolution. It's not like everyone has to start from scratch.
Right.
So this ability to record at this level has been around for a long time. And when you see it is just breathtaking. The difference is just night and day. So it is an up and coming. It's one we're going to watch because at some point this will become a relevant technology for us that don't have 20 grand.
Right.
So that's probably the biggest buzz that we saw from CES.
The other thing that we saw that I thought we were both all pretty hot on was the connected home.
The connected everything.
It's just life, and without the expense, life, your device connecting with your house, with your car, it's amazing and cheap.
Yeah, we said it last week. Your smartphone, based on what we saw at the Consumer Electronics Show, your smartphone in the next year or two will become a true universal remote control where you basically can remotely control
your life,
your house, your appliances, your lighting,
your children,
car. Your children, maybe not so much. But, I mean, you can track what's going on with them much more easily than you could in the past. If you want to start automating the home, you can do it one piece at a time very inexpensively instead of spending humongous dollars.
Right.
On like a Crestron system or that kind of thing. I mean, that stuff's still out there, but it's really kind of an interesting trend. By the way, we are already on the list to get a bunch of this stuff as it comes out. We are backers of the SmartThing technology, SmartThings. So that system's coming. We're playing around with the Nest. Version 2 of the Nest thermostat, really cool. Lots of really cool stuff. So we're going to continue to kind of evaluate this stuff. And obviously 3D printers, we've talked about over and over again, but we've seen that that's actually becoming very, very useful. And instead of having to create whatever it is that you want to print out, you can literally download these patterns. It's almost like sewing machines, right? You download these patterns. You can print out toys and replacement knobs for appliances. It's kind of mind-boggling where we're going with 3D printers.
So just keep an eye on that stuff, and we'll be telling you about it and bringing it to you as it comes out. By the way, speaking of CES, you know, we've been telling you about these Ultra HD TVs. Can you guess how many of these $22,000 models have been sold by LG already?
No way.
Yeah. Find out.
People actually bought them?
Yes.
They didn't listen to us.
Okay, but you got to see how many of them have been sold already, Ken. Okay. It's ridiculous.
All right.
And I'm not going to tell you on the air.
Okay.
Find out. Learn more about these crazy high-def screens. DataDoctors.com/radio.
So before the Facebook announcement, a lot of people were predicting that the big announcement, thus Tuesday, was Facebook was going to come out with a free phone so that they could monetize mobile traffic. What a dumb idea.
Yeah.
Who the heck's going to get rid of their phone just because... No.
But...
We're all on contracts.
Exactly. We're stuck with what we got. But they did do something very, very slick. If you were up late on Wednesday night, middle of the week, Facebook did a release of an update to an app, the Facebook Messenger app for iPhone, that added something very interesting. Free calling via Wi-Fi between Facebook iOS users. Those are iPhone users.
Or okay? iPad.
Or iPad or
mm-hmm.
iPod.
Mm-hmm.
You can... So right now, you can make calls over Wi-Fi via other things like Skype or TruePhone. But Facebook has more users, so the potential could be
huge.
Well,
no, here are the two things. Because at first you hear that, you're going, big deal. Welcome to the party, right? There's two reasons why this is somewhat relevant. One is, if you do want to talk to somebody for free that you know is on Facebook, and you don't want to use, or let's say you've got really bad cell coverage, but you got good data coverage, boom, there's one reason. But think about it. There's a billion people on Facebook.
A billion.
There's... what, 250 million people on Skype? So how many people do you know that still don't have a Skype account, right?
Right.
They all have Facebook accounts.
Everyone.
So watch for that. It could be interesting. It's voice only at this point, though.
When we come
and only in the U.S.
When we come back, do you still buy CDs? We'll tell you what Amazon has up their sleeves.
And how long should it last? We're talking about your hard drive.
It's coming up on the Data Doctors radio program. It's finally here. It's time to buy a new PC, but you're stuck.
Hey, it's the Data Doctors here to help get you unstuck.
When you buy a new PC from Data Doctors, we actually custom configure it right down to your operating system, Windows 7 or the new Windows 8.
Now, if you're ready to be a trailblazer with your new Data Doctors PC, we'll configure it with the new Windows 8.
But let's say you're not ready to jump feet first into the pool. If you like what you're used to, we can custom configure a Data Doctor system with Windows 7.
We even have a third option. We can install Windows 8, but give you the look and feel you're used to, you know, the start button and all, and that way, you're ready to go.
And with any Data Doctors PC purchase, we transfer all the important stuff from your old computer for free.
Windows 7 or Windows 8, Data Doctors gives you the freedom to choose.
Oh, and if you have a PC and you want us to handle the upgrade, we can do that too.
Now, get ready to experience award-winning service from Data Doctors.
To find the location nearest you, go to datadoctors.com right now.
Data Doctors. Since 1988, we're the tech guys for non-tech people.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors radio program.
Hey guys, if you're looking for the best electric razor, and who wouldn't want a good electric razor? Check out Gizmodo's test and ranking of the best. We've got a link to this and everything else we talk about. datadoctors.com/radio. You want to say something?
Can I control it with my smartphone?
No, you cannot. There's no such razor yet. But eventually, it'll be a connected razor.
You know you're old school if the phrase mouse balls does... Sorry. You know you're old school if the phrase mouse balls doesn't make you giggle. I'm sorry, that's making me giggle.
It's the tech show for non-tech
people. It's the tech show for non-tech people. The Data Doctors radio program.
So last week, we posted a question on Facebook. We wanted to know if any of you still purchase music CDs. You know, those shiny discs that contain music on them.
The things that you use to scare the birds away from your plants?
Yes. Okay. I sharpened the edges on them, and I made ninja stars out of them. And yeah, they frisbees, basically. Well, first of all, the majority of you, very slight majority of you, said yes, you still purchase CDs, which was really shocking to me.
No, not really.
Well, I thought...
Our listener base tends to skew a little older.
Well, and a lot of them...
And wiser.
And some of them who said yes, they still do say they love having that physical disc. And
it's like the people that love the physical news on a physical newspaper.
Right.
It's not anything other than experiential.
Yeah, I guess that's what it is.
Yeah.
So the reason we ask this is because this week Amazon announced a new program called AutoRip. And my first question is, why in the world would we need this? But you guys help me answer that because a lot of you still like CDs. What they're doing is, if you purchase a CD from Amazon, a physical disc, of course it comes to you the way it normally does. It gets delivered to you. However, The moment you click the purchase, a digital version of that entire disc is put into your Amazon Music Cloud.
Mm-hmm.
And any discs that you've purchased from Amazon from 1990-something, I forgot the year specifically, on, will automatically be put into your Amazon Music Cloud.
So you can party like it's 1999.
Exactly. So you get the disc, but you don't have to go through the process of ripping
uploading.
And
so it's like automatically ripping a copy of the CD
correct.
To your music library. Now, they're also working towards a way to, so if you have an iOS device, Apple will not allow people to sell products unless they get a cut. So you can't use an app to buy music from Amazon, but you can go now through Safari, through the browser on an iOS device, and make these purchases so that you can listen to them on your phone.
Right.
Now, it's not as elegant as iTunes, because Apple's not going to allow that.
Not even close.
But those of you that have an iOS device that don't necessarily want to buy your music from Apple, Amazon's trying to make it a little easier. So if you haven't looked at Amazon's music service in a while, or especially the 50, 70% of you, or 60% of you, or whatever, that
like
said,
CDs.
Yes, I still buy CDs, this is pretty cool. This is definitely right in the wheelhouse of us old timers.
You know, and it's funny because, and I do want to apologize. I wasn't trying to be a snob. I want to apologize to anyone. When I said that, or when I just said a few minutes ago, why in the world would we need this? In my thinking, because I'm a digital guy, I'm thinking, who uses CDs anymore? I don't even use DVDs anymore. Everything, all my content is digital. And I'm thinking, well, isn't the world evolving? I must be evolving too fast. I need to slow it down.
It's mentally easier to understand, or, you know, if you don't come from the digital world, us vinyl guys, right? We grew up, and that was part of the collection. And you,
sure.
I mean, part of that is the beauty of looking at all of those album covers or CDs and kind of, you know, the Saturday afternoon with a glass of wine looking through your old music. Doing it electronically, it's not the same.
You're right, it isn't. I mean, I remember those album covers, Asia. They had the most awesome artwork with the dragon rising out. And they used to paint them on jackets because they were so cool. And now that's kind of gone by the wayside. So,
well, it's because it's not very cool.
Yeah.
You know, I wear those jackets.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, like the silk looking things from all the radio stations.
Yeah, they were kind of cool.
Hey, one last question from Angel on our Facebook page, facebook.com/datadoctors. Wants to know, I'm going to say Angel's a guy.
Yes.
What's the average lifespan of an external hard drive?
It
turns out it's the same as an internal hard drive.
Yes, it's as long as it takes to get from the desktop to your floor.
Yeah. So you have to look at hard drives in this way. There are only two kinds of hard drives in this world. Those that have crashed, those that are going to crash. What is the expectation of a lifespan? 4 or 5 years? Easy.
Sure.
Except for those that crashed before.
Right.
The problem is there's no way to know which one you have.
You know...
And that's the crucial component here.
Yeah, you know, so, Angel, I've had the experience where a power supply on an external drive has failed before there was a physical problem with the hard drive. We have some drives in our house that have been running 24/7 for 8 years is my oldest drive. I think 8 years is currently the oldest drive I have, has had no issues. I've had other drives that I've plugged in, and within a month or two, I've had a failure. You know,
there's no rhyme or reason. But specific to external hard drives, anyone out there that's having problems with an external hard drive, you do have one extra layer of troubleshooting you need to do, because sometimes the drive itself is fine. The enclosure that you had it in is what failed or malfunctioned. And so by removing the hard drive from that external enclosure and putting it into another one, then you can, that's a quick way to test to see, is it the drive or is it the enclosure? In some percentage of cases, it's going to be the enclosure, and you're going to be very, very happy. You can also take, if you know what you're doing, you can take an external hard drive or take the hard drive out of an external enclosure, open up your computer, and plug it in to one of the internal connectors.
I don't have room in my computer.
Depending upon, you know, I mean, even doing it temporarily, just to check to see, is the drive okay, or is it the external enclosure? So generally speaking, you'll have what's called an MTBF, mean time between failure rating, which is a completely erroneous, ridiculous thing that they publish. 50,000, 80,000, 100,000 hours. We're talking, you know, average usage, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, right? Depends on how often you use it. Just be paranoid. Just assume every hard drive you own is going to crash tomorrow and act accordingly, and you'll never have to come to our data recovery labs. And the reason I'm telling you this is nobody listens. Our data recovery labs are filled every single day with people that don't listen to us.
But you do listen to this show, and thank you for listening to The Tech Show for Non-Tech People, the Data Doctors radio program. You can ask your questions even when we're off the air, facebook.com/datadoctors.
Remember, we pull your fat out of the fire every day during the week when it comes to technologies, because we're experts at this stuff. We can help you in our stores, in your home, at your business. We can even remote in over the internet and help you. It's The Data Doctors. Don't forget.
Do you like the program? Let your friends around the country know they too can listen, laugh, and learn with The Data Doctors, now heard worldwide on Stitcher Radio.
And of course, if you missed any of the links or the info we gave in the past couple of hours, you find everything you need at datadoctors.com/radio.
Get all your tech answers in English at datadoctors.com/radio.
It's the tech show for non-tech people.
This is the Data Doctors Radio program.